Standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's my cohort, Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's around as well. He's a heck of a man. A lot to get to today. It is a Friday. Fridays are always fun. Mailbag Monday on a Friday, Bad Take Boulevard. The voice of the Astros, Todd Callis, will join us. You will join us. 713-780-ESPN. Number to call, number to text. I had somebody in my TikTok yesterday, Joe, saying, stop doing full segments of text. And then I had another one saying, read more text. So I'm not really sure what to do.
I like more.
Yeah, I like more and more, too.
Yeah, we interact with our texters. That's the way we do it the most.
Yeah, I am kind of defiant, too. So,
yeah, if you tell us not to do something, we're just going to keep doing it, if not do it more.
Yeah, it's a bad habit of mine, I'll admit. But we start with the Astros. Astros winning a baseball game yesterday.
We chase the fight.
They're in the thick of the fight, guys.
They're really chasing now.
They're 2.5 games out of the American League West lead. Can you believe it?
No, honestly, I cannot.
No, I can't believe it.
I didn't think they'd be here. And now their slogan actually makes sense, unlike earlier in the season. Like, now they're actually chasing it.
They're right. They're in the thick of things.
They are. But
they're in the thick of things.
They looked good last night. Looked good this series. They looked good recently. What, 7 out of the last 10 they've won?
7-3 on this 10-game roadie.
That's very good.
Which, it's better than that, right? Like, if you wanted to go, like, the best way to talk about the current play, they just took 3 of 4. They swept the lowly Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they've won 6 of the last 7.
Yeah. 6 of the 7, it sounds better because then you still have to include a series loss versus the Twins if you go the last 10. But even past, like, because you can go past that too, where they won their last series versus the Rangers as well. Like, you can even go deeper that you can say, you know, they've gone, what is that, 9 of their last 13 as well. You can do whatever you want. You can split it however the cookie crumbles, Jeremy. You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun, though. And I think my biggest takeaway from yesterday's game is that Spencer Arrighetti needs to be getting some Cy Young love. And whenever you say that, people are like, oh, you're saying that he should be the Cy Young. No, I'm not saying that he should be the Cy Young. I'm saying he should be getting some Cy Young love. And he does have the quirky thing because he didn't start the season with the team. Certain people feel some kind of way about that. But he has the best ERA in all of baseball, all of the American League. If you were just to take his ERA right now, and you look at the rest of Major League Baseball, Spencer Arrighetti is right there at the top.
Yep.
Now he doesn't have the innings pitches to qualify, but if he did, he would have the best ERA in all of the American League.
Yeah, he definitely deserves a lot more respect than he's getting for even just what the raw stats are. He's not getting any recognition, honestly. I just pulled up the AL Cy Young odds for this year. What do you think he's listed as?
Plus 1,000.
Well, he's not listed, so that's the problem.
Well, that's a trick question.
I know.
You're setting me up for failure.
I set you up good there. I gotcha. But like Garrett Cole.
You got to be able to get it somewhere.
Yeah, probably, but at least this book that I'm looking at doesn't have him even on here. Garrett Cole, who's made two starts, is on this list at plus 10,000, and Spencer Arrighetti's not on it. He's been phenomenal this year. He absolutely deserves to be mentioned in it with how good the numbers are, frankly, this year.
He has 7 wins on the season. His 7 wins on the season would put him in third place, tied for third place for the most wins in the American League. That is one off the pace of Gavin Williams of Cleveland and then the Martin guy, Davis Martin from Chicago, which, where did this guy come from?
Great
How many people
question.
Know who Davis Martin is? 713-780-3776.
And who then the is that guy?
Right. And then you look at the ERA, Spencer Arrighetti would be number one. I don't have the innings to qualify. 134 ERA. He would be ahead of Schlittler, who's at a 150 ERA. This Nick Martinez guy, who was a free agent in the offseason, he's got a 151 ERA. Tampa Bay does a great job with their pitching. So I don't know how you would have somebody off the book that's one win off the American League lead and would be in the ERA lead. And, you know, the argument, well, he needs more innings. Well, yeah, he does. Like, I get it. He doesn't qualify for the ERA. But you know what's going to happen if he continues to pitch in games? He's going to pitch innings.
Yeah, he's going to qualify.
He's going to get to the innings. And the rule on that is you have to pitch one inning for every game your team has played. I looked up the numbers a little bit earlier. I think the Astros, what, after yesterday, they're 26-32. So what is that, 58 games? I think he's pitched like in 47 innings, something like that. So he's chasing it, right? Like he'll get there, though, as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he should win the American League Cy Young if the season were to end today. I'm saying he should be in the conversation and he should get some votes.
No, he absolutely should be in the conversation. It's ridiculous that he's not. What else more could a starter do? If he had a splashy name, he'd be at the top of the list.
Wow, he's off the board, according to ChatGPT, due to low betting volume.
So I guess you have to ask for it?
He said, the ChatGPT said, if a sportsbook were hanging a line right now, I'd expect something roughly in the 20-1 to 50-1 range.
Yeah, the one I'm looking at, Luis Severino is the last guy on this list at plus 30,000.
He's probably off the book because they don't want to, like, they don't know where to value him. Because he can't be plus 3,000. His numbers are too good to be plus 3,000.
Yeah, but you'd have, so like yeah, do you want to put him at plus 800? To
right.
Put him behind DeGrom, Cease, and Schlittler? I said it wrong. You have to dump that. It's okay.
Did he dump it?
You know, he doesn't have to, but he looked like it.
Why doesn't he have to?
Because he told me not to.
Because it's the I said a name. I just missed it.
You didn't say the name right the first time.
This is not Ivan Evenschitz, a former MLS player.
I think I'm okay.
I don't know, man.
So, all right. I mean, you're the APD. It's on you.
We're gonna
You might have to bring yourself into your own office to discuss.
Junkie the Day nomination.
Yeah, that's
six
for sure.
Minutes in.
He's got an L in his name, though, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I just missed it.
It's Schlittler.
I know.
Yeah, don't even repeat it.
I'm not going to. No, I'm scared to. I'm just going to call him Cam.
Yeah.
Cam
good.
S.
I mean, it's a pretty easy name to say, Schlittler.
I know it is, but I just
say it 10 times fast.
No, not doing that.
Schlittler, 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 Schlittler. I'm stopping at 5.
That's a good call.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, he's good, though, from the Yankees, but he's no Spencer Arrighetti. You know, Arrighetti, despite giving everybody else a head start in the American League, he's 7th in pitching war. Like, this dude should finish top 10. And look, like, whenever I say votes, they vote for, like, what, their top 5 or whatever?
I think that's correct.
He should be – I think he would be – if the voting were to end today, I think he should be in the top 5.
Yeah, I mean, it's – what's the argument against it?
That he doesn't have enough innings to qualify for the ERA?
Yeah, but there's other guys who are – I mean, but like, I immediately saw Gerrit Cole getting promoted as, like, could he win the Cy Young this year after 2 starts? It's going to be a huge uphill battle for him to qualify.
Well, he's just got a name.
No, I know, but like it's like what's so like the only difference there is the name. So if you're going to use the innings thing, you can't consider a lot of guys at this point. Like he's going, the stats are there.
Well, Cole wouldn't get votes though. Like you're looking at Vegas odds. Like we're talking about the writers.
I think if Cole puts up a Cy Young season, he'll
we're
get
talking.
Votes.
I said if the season were to end today, if everybody was voting on it today.
No, he deserves it if the season ended today.
I'd have him top 5.
He's not going to win it, but he's 10 innings off. It's not like he's 30 innings off and this is three or four starts.
Yeah, and he has counting stats.
Yeah.
Like he's one off the American League league in wins.
On a team that's below
500. He's 7th in war. Yeah. What is that? The Astros have how many wins? The Astros I don't know what that is. The Astros have 26 wins. He has more than a quarter of their wins.
Yeah. Like all that's deserving to say he's well deserving of Cy Young consideration this season. There's not a doubt in my mind. If this keeps up, he will get votes.
Yeah,
he's right. Probably not a big enough name to win it. Not that should matter, frankly.
Dallas Keuchel won it.
That's true. So I guess Arrighetti could win it then if this keeps up.
Yeah. 1368 says, guys, just wanted to let you know the show before yours is the best. That's Rich Eisen. I don't know if Rich Eisen was in today, but he's my dear friend. So thank you for the compliments on that one.
No, it was O'Shea Jackson again.
Who?
O'Shea Jackson.
Doc O'Shea Jackson?
The actor?
Yeah, Ice Cube's kid.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah, he hosted yesterday, too.
Why is his name Jackson and not Cube? Surprising to hear Joe agree with Jeremy again. Todd Callis is awesome, best voice in radio. He's on TV. Branham, the interesting thing about Arrighetti is he doesn't really have a great repertoire of pitches. I don't watch him and say, wow, his stuff is nasty or overpowering, but he just gets the job done somehow. Ocho. So that's where I would disagree. I think he has one of the best breaking balls in all of baseball.
I think compared to your normal, when you talk Cy Young and those elite pitchers, I don't think his overall repertoire is close to those. Like, yes, breaking ball good, totally agree. But that's where I think when you watch him pitch, it does feel different than watching a Skeens, DeGrom, Cole, like those level of guys. Like, I agree with Ocho there.
Well, those guys have velo.
For sure. Yeah, he doesn't have that.
And you're discriminating against guys who don't have the upper 90 velo.
I am. But he doesn't have that like level of stuff, and that does make it feel like you're watching something.
See, I disagree with the stuff thing. Like, I think that you're kind of like, and I know that velo, you know, kind of plays a part of the equation in stuff, and he does lack that compared to some of the other names, but I don't think that you have to have elite velo to have really good stuff.
How many like elite pitches do you think he has overall? Is it one?
Probably 1.5.
Okay. Yeah,
so probably 1.5.
Like, I think even those guys,
I think his curveball is elite.
Yeah, they have more than one. So like, it's like I don't watch him and go like, that's an ace. Like, his, I mean, we call him Ace Aggetti, but
his sweepers, like, that grades out pretty good. But what's interesting is he doesn't throw that a ton. Like, it's probably his fourth pitch that he uses the most. And it depends on the batters and stuff too. So like, you're going to pitch differently if lineup full of lefties versus a lineup full of righties. No, but I think his curveball is elite. I think he's got a league average fastball. I think his sinker's all right. I think his changeup's all right. I think his sweeper's good when he goes there. But no, he pitches to his curveball. His curveball is an elite pitch. I think it's one of the best pitches in baseball, and I'm not being hyperbolic. And he knows how to get to that pitch. He knows when to throw that pitch. He can land that pitch for strikes. He can control that pitch at times. That's why his control is never going to be great, because that's his best pitch, and it's harder to land a curveball than it is a fastball, right? But no, I disagree with the really good stuff. I agree with the velo, but I think he has really good stuff.
I think
he gets plenty of strikeouts. He gets plenty of whiffs.
I think his baseball savant is very interesting when you look at it too, because I feel like a lot of guys, it's either a lot of blue or a lot of red.
Yeah,
his is really a mixed bag.
Yeah,
like his expected ERA is pretty poor, but his expecting batting average is really good. His average exit velocity is very good. His barrel rate's good. His hard hit percentage is good. But then his chase percentage is the 24th percentile in Major League Baseball. Like, it really is a major mix of some stuff that he's very good at and some stuff that's not as great. It's really strange when you look at how good the results have been to see it be so mixed on Baseball Savant.
Here's what I've learned over my years following baseball and then the analytics. And I've dove all in on analytics. Love the numbers. Love the analytical side of the game. Huge fan. Loved Moneyball.
I know analytics has those things out there.
I'm so old that I love Bill James. I love the numbers. The extra 2%, the numbers that are around now, your baseball savants, your fan graphs, all I love it all. I love the numbers. Here's the one thing you need to know about the numbers, especially when it comes to pitching. There is not a single analytic measure out there that measures a guy's pitchability. There's not a single analytical number out there that is able to measure a guy's ability to know how to pitch.
Yeah.
No one can measure it. Dallas Keuchel won a Cy Young. Go look at his Baseball Savant numbers that year. Not good. But why was he able to have a period of time where he was very successful? His know-how to pitch. Why is Spencer Arrighetti a guy that he has a mixed bag of Baseball Savant? He's got some very elite stuff, and he's got some other stuff that are average at best. Because he knows how to pitch. He knows, like, the demeanor. That's something that will never be measured. It can never be measured.
Yeah, and you're right. And the only thing you can measure that with is kind of what you're saying is eye test. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you can only watch the starts and see how he performs on a day-to-day basis or a start-by-start basis to see those results play out. I do think, you know, some of that you can see maybe a little bit in terms of, like, barrel percentage and things like that. Because, you know, it's not an exact science of that, but I do think a high barrel percentage might lead to some indicator of pitchability. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting barreled up. You're missing barrels.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not a perfect, you know, one-to-one, but I think it can be like a good indicator of that.
Yeah.
Like probably that plus like walk percentage and strikeout percentage.
No, it's ability. Like sometimes you're going to walk a guy. Like sometimes you have a runner at second base, two outs, and you want nothing to do with Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
So like that dings you in the walk percentage. So what? That was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Which like it doesn't show on a box score. That.
Like that's my annoyance with the analytics. Like it doesn't have value for that. It doesn't have value for like, okay, well yeah, he walked the guy. There's a tally in that column, but he should have walked the guy. That was the right decision to make. Like how does analytics measure that?
No.
That goes back to the whole, like, having a Branham, you know, having an at-bat where you hit a ground ball to the right side with a runner at second with nobody out. Incredibly productive. It could have even been a weak grounder, right? Let's say you hit it at a 25-mile-per-hour exit velocity to the right side. Second baseman picks it up, throws you out. You're 0-for-1. All your advanced numbers are going to ding you. It wasn't a hard hit. It wasn't a barrel. Your average exit velocity is going down. But was it a productive out?
Yes.
That's where the analytics don't value anything.
Yeah.
And you know why the Rays are having all this success? Because they're doing old-school baseball stuff. They're doing old-school baseball stuff. Old-school baseball stuff it's a lost art. Go look at Jose Altuve's career, year by year, baseball savant. It won't blow you away. But why is he great? Knows how to play baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on the other side, too. Like, I wish there was something that tracked more of, like, the quality of at-bats, you know, of just, you know, being in a 1-2 count and then forcing it back into your favor and then even just getting a single off of that.
Yes,
and just,
this was the premise of my idea a month ago, Joe.
No, you're right. You're right.
This is my – I want there to be a stat, which, yeah, it was a quality at bat.
A Branham.
Yeah, although if the Branham now is, like, basically what I think should be a sacrifice that it isn't counted as a sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's what we've been using it as.
You've been tracking those?
No, I haven't been tracking them, but every now and then when somebody does it in a game that I'm watching, I'll just be like, oh, Esoc with a Branham.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, a few of the dozens and dozens of our listeners that follow me on Twitter be like, yeah, it's a Branham, you know?
I think the name hurts it a little bit.
No, hey. What would be better, a Joe?
No, I don't know what it would, but.
Yeah, that wouldn't be any better. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll get some of your thoughts on Eric Geddy. There's more to talk about in this game, too. There's some things I liked about in this game. Cam Smith flashing the leather. Cam Smith doing it a little bit with his bat. But also the recipe for success for this team, kind of around Yordan Alvarez, I thought was on display yesterday. And I want to tip my hat again to Mr. 201, Joe Espada, who picked up his 201st victory after last night's game.
You said you weren't going to do that.
I know, but it sounded cool. I just rolled off the tongue. I wasn't planning on it. Okay. Sometimes I get over my skis, and I just talk, and I start rambling, and I just, you know, things enter my mind that I probably shouldn't say a lot of times. 713-780-ESPN, though. That's the number to call. That's the number to text. You can Twitch at us, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can YouTube at us at ESPN Houston on YouTube. You can TikTok, ESPN975. You can watch us on Twitter. Interact with us on Twitter as well, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy. That hurt a little bit. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. And they make it really a simple process from start to finish. You just have to call 713-290-1000 or visit them at dmautoleasing.com. You don't have to go to a dealership and waste hours and hours. You just talk to a veteran sales agent who's going to show you and talk to you about all the cars that you could be looking for. They have a major inventory, so they can walk through all the different pricing, mileages, everything you're looking for. They can find the right car for you with the inventory that they have. And you can see it all at dmautoleasing.com. When it comes time, they'll bring that brand new car right to you and take your trade in as well. So you don't have to leave the comfort of your own home. Give them a call right now, 713-290-1000, or visit dmautoleasing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Ice. Yeah. I'm an only child, no one could have made another. I have to father my mother and treat my son's grandfather like my older brother. The skies are gray in Toronto, they not a golden color. I'm feeling like BTS, cause it took the whole career for me to be so discovered. I know for sure that my parents, they look at me and see an overcomer.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I trust that you guys are watching. I'm not, full disclosure, I'm not in the studio today. I got some things to do later. I trust that you are watching the college baseball regionals because today's Christmas in May for me.
Nope.
What is wrong with you?
I'll turn it on during the next break.
Put it on the bases loaded thing, or the squeeze play, I think it's called. Yeah, squeeze play. Squeeze play is awesome. I'm watching squeeze play right now. Milwaukee's leading Auburn, boys, 12-7 in game one of the Auburn regional.
Wow.
The four seed Milwaukee. I don't even know their team name. Brewers. Milwaukee leads Auburn 12-7. Who's the 4 overall seed in the bottom of the 8th? Sometimes the number 1 seed, Joe, because I know you don't like college baseball or follow college baseball. I think you'd like it. You should really follow it. You don't really have a team. Your UIC Flame got hammered today. But Auburn, like a lot of times the 1 seed, sometimes the 1 seed will throw off. Like they won't use their dude, you know. Okay. They want to save them for the driver's seat game because it's a 4-team tournament, double elimination. The driver's seat game is day 2, whoever wins the opening games. So a lot of times the top seed, when they feel like there's a mismatch, will throw off. They won't throw their dude. They won't throw their ace. They'll hold their ace back for the driver's seat game. Auburn didn't do that. Auburn threw their dude today.
And they're losing?
They're 3 outs away from dropping the opening round game to 4 seed Milwaukee, despite throwing their dude. Mm. So we're following that.
SEC overrated.
Oh, I didn't realize this game was in the 14th inning. See, I was running around getting ready for the show, and I hadn't had it on in a while. Oh, Texas is up 19-0 on Holy Cross. My goodness.
Texas is back, folks.
I didn't even know that they were hosting a regional. East Carolina and Tennessee are in the 14th inning. Like, this is awesome. It's just around the – it's March Madness for college baseball. It's around the clock. Squeeze play takes it all the big moments. Highly recommend it if you're a college baseball fan. Don't turn us off, though. Just, you know, watch this on mute. Like, I'm watching it off my phone right now on mute. We're also sweating of the day. We didn't have much to do. I can't bet college sports, so we're not betting college baseball. I just can't do that. You guys can, but I am not. So our sweat of the day, we have a little golf bet going. Mm-hmm. We have JT Poston, rhymes with Boston,
over Putnam. That guy?
Andrew Putnam. Hopefully he's not Putnam in the cup.
Man.
Poston's... Boston's 2-under through 9, and Putnam's even through 9. So we currently have a 2-shot lead on Andrew Putnam as we make the turn on our sweat of the day.
That's so bad, man.
We're giving. Why is that bad?
It's such a dad joke.
Oh, are those a joke? It was pretty bad, I admit.
I almost ran you for it. I was like, no, he still needs to be here for another 2 hours.
Because he's not in studio, he could actually just leave.
Yeah, he could just turn it off.
Call technical issues and walk off.
He didn't like that? He hope he's not putting them in the cup.
You should text that joke to Will Doctor. Tell us what he says.
Okay, I will. I'll do it during the break, though. Thank you, Junkie. What do we always tell you guys? We always tell you guys that we have the most sophisticated listenership in all of Houston Sports
Junkie.
Radio. The dozens and dozens of junkies that we have are the smartest in the business. It's Milwaukee Panthers.
Okay.
I didn't realize there was Panthers in Milwaukee.
There's not. There's not.
Not sure why they call them that. But they call them that. Junkie, after listening to yesterday's show, I was patiently waiting for Branham to come out with the Mr. 201. See? It's the most sophisticated listenership. He knows me better than I know me. A Branham is what I say when I'm about to sit on the toilet. I got to take a Branham. That's not very nice. Somebody says a cup of Joe is better. That's too played out, though.
Yeah, okay, it's too cheesy.
It's probably better, but it's too played out. Brown, here. So here's like the... this is a perfect example, I think. This is a microcosm of glass half full fan, glass half empty fan. Back to back text we just received on the HRP listener line 713-780-ESPN. You want the good one or the bad one? You want glass half full, glass half empty?
Let's go empty first.
All right, glass half empty. First one. I am afraid that this stretch the Astros are on is going to end, and they will return to sucking. This team does not have enough good, healthy, consistent starting pitching to keep this up.
Okay.
Glass half full, another texture, seconds apart. Brown, Arrighetti, Tang, that's a solid 1-2-3. Hader and Tuve on the brink of return. We are so back. So half full, half empty, back to back. And I think both are fair takes, honestly.
I guess you're looking at Arrighetti and his walks is probably the thing that is unsustainable for him, and then just not a believer in Tang just yet if you're glass half empty. Burroughs is a
mixed
bag. No, it's totally fair. Like, Arrighetti, we know what his career has been so far. It's obviously been nowhere near this accomplished at this point. Now, it does feel like he's figured something out, you know, in terms of like you said, like just knowing how to pitch against these teams. So I don't think it's going to be at this level where he's going to be deserving of Cy Young recognition all season, but it doesn't mean that it can't be well above average throughout the season. I like Kaiwa Tang. I'm kind of a believer in him as a starter at this point, more than like a Burroughs or obviously an Emi. So I think it can be solid and good enough. It's just, will your lineup be good enough to win games when the other guys are not there to support these pitchers when they give up a couple runs? I think it's more the question for me.
Yeah, I think that you have a – I think it has a shot to be solid. Like, I think Hunter Brown, Arrigetti, solid. Even good. Can Kei-Wei Tang be a solid three? You know, can Lambert be a solid 3-4-5? You know, I'm not really sure there. And then Burrows, can he be a 3-4-5? So you still have those question marks a little bit. I did read, though, I think it was Matt Kawahara that tweeted this. I saw this in his story, that the Astros are going back to a five-man for the time being.
Okay.
So you don't have – that's why, you know, the Alexander was sent down. I mean, also because they gave up 8 runs in the first. You know, I think that played a part too. But they are shortening their rotation a little bit, so you don't have to see that 6 starter for a little bit, then Hunter Brown back in a little bit. So, yeah, I think that there's some to be optimistic about there when it comes to the pitching staff.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Brown back on the mound tonight. What, you think like one more rehab start after this? Just guessing? And then back with the Astros?
They keep saying mid-June. And I can't remember. They did put him on the 60-day, remember? I don't remember what day they did that. It didn't matter what day they did it. I can't remember what day they retroactivated it to. So I don't know when he's eligible to come back. I'd have to go look at that, Joe.
That's a good question. I don't know that either.
I asked the best questions. Yeah, Larry David.
That's a great point.
See, I think it's pretty good. I think the impression's getting better.
It's not really.
The junkies are saying Lamar's up on the Ags 1-0. Shout out Will Davis, University of Houston head coach.
Shout out.
University of Houston head coach getting it done in the regional so far. It's very early, though. A&M hosting that regional. They're very good. Ocho said Haters Velo's not back yet. I wouldn't want it to be back, though, in rehab. You know? Like, I don't want it to be 96 in rehab. He didn't throw that hard. He throws 95-ish. So I'm not really worried about his Velo. I think it was 93, 94. If he throws 95, I'm not worried about it.
Well, you went back-to-back, so... It's not time yet for his Velo to be back to where it should be if he's coming back early next week?
I think you get the extra tick whenever you get the call up to the big leagues.
Okay.
I think I want you to be a tick or two down in AAA, even if it's your final rehab.
Yeah, I'll take it as a positive, just that he did it back-to-back. Like, that means he's...
Apparently he got hit, though, huh? I know he gave up a home run the first of the back-to-back. I saw something, but I didn't look at the numbers that he apparently got hit a little bit yesterday, too. I think he got hit for a homer yesterday as well.
Doesn't stress me out. It's the minors.
Yeah, he's working on pitches.
Yeah, like, it's just...
Although, Dana Brown would call up a hitter for that.
That's true. He would. I'm watching the video now. This is from yesterday. It's from the day before. It was a rocket off of him.
Yeah. It's all right. He just seen where he can't, you know, put it when he gets back to the Bix. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Josh Hader.
He'll be all right.
Not at all.
He's the fireman. All right, let's get to the Cam Smith part of this conversation when we come back. Also, something that I really enjoyed early in yesterday's game that I think is the recipe for Astro success. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Your local bar could be your ticket to a global stage. Michelob Ultra's Soccer Shootout is giving fans the chance to win tickets to the FIFA World Cup 26. All you have to do is show up and compete. This event is running now through June 14th, and it is happening tonight. But all you have to do is show up and compete at one of these bars, compete in their soccer shootout, and the winner will go home with a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game thanks to Michelob Ultra. Tonight, from 5 to 8, you can go out to Bombshells in Stafford, Vita Garden in Midtown. Tomorrow, from 11 to 2, you got McIntyre's in the Heights, Phoenix on Westheimer in Montrose, Kirby Ice House from 11 to 2 in the Heights. The boys, the bullpen, Sean Bryan and Cam Smith will be out there from 12 to 2, so go hang out with them and get your chance to win FIFA World Cup tickets to a game here in Houston thanks to Michelob Ultra. Play for a chance to witness history, because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly. 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents. 21 plus. Begins on 2/1/26 and ends on 5/31/26. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules for prizes and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
Houston's independent voice for sports. ESPN 97.5.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
Out in the six, I'm a national treasure. That bad me gon' bat me forever. R.I.P. Kobe, but y'all broke it. That's probably why y'all be shacking together. Capo and leader got habits together. Like couples vacation, they packing together. Like rushing to finish, they'll slap it together. The charges like COVID, they'll catch it together. They hate me so much,
him a sack because I wanted you to the king when you was a
now
part of the
back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Cody, we threw him away. G-Pop sent us a rare one from Dago, and next thing you knew we was doing parades.
Astros lineup's a doozy today.
I see that.
Taylor Trammell is leading off.
Yeah, he is.
For the Astros today. Isak Paredes, home run boy from yesterday's games, batting second. Jordan Alvarez, third. Christian Walker's back in the lineup. Cleanup man, right fielder Cam Smith. Brayden Schumake, the shortstop. Bottom three, Jake Myers and center Nick Allen at second. Cesar Salazar catches.
Woo-hoo.
That is a doozy. Doozy of a lineup. I'm not sure why Allen's playing second and Schumake's playing short, though. That one doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think Allen's the slightly better defender. You could sell me into Schumake. Schumake does have a better arm, so maybe that's the difference.
Yeah, I would guess that's it. I guess maybe
I think Allen's got more range.
You think Allen's got more range?
Yeah, I do. But the arm thing is fair, so I'm not going to rip it.
I think this clearly shows the last 2 days, if now you include today's lineup, or just they had a plan for days off.
Yeah.
Right? Paredes, Walker, now Pena, all out of the lineup. Like, why? Yeah. I don't know. Just getting them.
Well, they're playing a lot of games in a short amount of days. Like, they only had one day off in, like, what, a 20-something game stretch? So I get it. And plus, you want to take care of these guys. And then look at the off days and then the guys that have produced after their off days. Like, you gave Jordan the off day after the little back spasm and he goes, you know, scorched earth in Arlington.
Yeah.
You give Isak a day off and then he homers yesterday. I'm pro day off. Like, it's May 29th. You have to give guys days off. Players have to play. It's 162 games. And then the whole Pena thing. Remember they said Pena's like, oh, he's not going to play every day when he comes back, and he's played every day since he's come back.
Yeah.
So he probably needs a day. Plus, they had that long flight yesterday, that long flight home yesterday. So they had to play a late-night game on a travel day, and then they had that long flight home.
So are we feeling a little Christian Walker home run prop tonight?
Yeah, because I don't know who's I haven't really dove into the.
It's Crow tonight. I think he's making his third big league start. Is what it is.
Yeah, I would need to dive into his the numbers for.
I can't wait for Sunday.
With the Miz.
Miz versus Jordan. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty cool.
That's gonna be Camus TV.
That's gonna be pretty cool. What?
This is so bad.
I wasn't doing Cal. I was doing Putty from Seinfeld that time. Yeah, lefties have better numbers against Crow than righties, which you would understand because he's a right-handed pitcher. So I don't know how I feel about that prop, quite frankly. Taylor Trammell, though, is he for real? He's not going to hit .359 forever. We know that. He's not going to have a .156 OPS forever. We know that. But is, like, Taylor Trammell for real in the sense that he is a starter against right-handed pitching?
I kind of feel like he is. I mean, last year, the numbers are obviously nowhere near where they are now. But I thought we saw quality at bats for him last year when he was with the Astros. And, like, this is a guy who was obviously once a top prospect in Major League Baseball. Has not panned out at all. He's currently having his best career very clearly by WAR, and he's gonna blow past it. But I think with the roster construction you have right now, so maybe that's a cheat answer here. I think he's playing.
Yeah, I think he is too. And look, maybe it's just one of those play the hot hand until he's no longer hot, and then if he goes into a terrible slump, then okay, make a decision then. So maybe it could be that. You know, it could be that. But even last year I kind of liked his plate appearances. He's swing and miss there, but he can play all three outfield positions. You know, he can man center field. Haven't seen him a whole lot in right, but I think he can man right. And he's got a little bit of thump, you know. He's got a little bit of hop. So, yeah, play the hot hand. Maybe you found something here. But, yeah, I'm a fan of Trammell. He had that hit down the line yesterday. But Cam Smith made the great catch yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Robbed the home run, went back, made a gold glove level play, which also he hit really well on this road trip, which is road numbers have been good, home numbers have been bad for whatever reason. What a play, right? I mean, just give him the gold glove, huh?
Yeah, he finished top three last year. I think he's leading right fielders in at least the American League, but maybe even baseball overall in terms of the run save stat that they use. So I definitely think he's gold glove worthy. He is so impressive out there. That catch last night was phenomenal.
Yeah, he's a freak. He's a freak athlete. An unbelievable catch. He kind of no-sold it a little bit, which they were kind of like ridiculing him over. And then Cam Smith, this was his response yesterday on why he didn't celebrate.
I honestly didn't even know how to react. I never done that before. But it was pretty cool, and I'm glad I could do it for Spence.
There you go. A little awkward media laughing.
I mean, he no-sold it so well. I think TK got the call wrong.
He did, yeah. TK will join us later. Are you going to ask him about that?
Probably not. But I think it's probably because Cam Smith no-sold it.
He did no-sell it. He no-sold it, which was cool. Chandler Roman blocked me.
Really?
Yeah, he unblocked me.
Interesting.
Drop so much. Can't stand that. Yeah, somebody like retweeted one of his stories, and you know when you're blocked, you can't like retweet or comment on it.
Yeah.
So like it kind of grayscales it to where you can't like really even see it. But somebody retweeted it, and I was like, wait, can I comment on that? And then I pulled up his page, and I'm no longer blocked. I've been unblocked by the great Chandler. He's always done a great job. He's always been incredibly honest and fair, and you know, fully takes quotes and totally puts all context in them. Oh, yeah, he unblocked me.
Maybe he can only have one enemy at a time.
Well, who's his new enemy?
Schwabi.
Well, I think Schwabi's always been his enemy.
Yeah, but maybe you jump Schwab for a little bit, and then now Schwab's regained the top seed in the villain Chandler Rome life.
Hey, unblocked me. Yeah. So how about that?
Look
a little
that.
Surprising.
I appreciate the unblock there.
Right?
Maybe he was just having a bad day when he blocked you.
Maybe. Yeah. I appreciate it too. I mean, I still think the blocking's incredibly soft.
Sure.
But I admire the unblock, you know. I probably don't do the same. I don't block people, but if I mute you, then I'm keeping you muted. So, you know, maybe he's a bigger man than me. That's not true. But maybe proverbially he's a bigger man than me, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm reading the text line. I'm confused by the text line, Jeremy.
Why?
The two texts that we just got, that you starred one of them.
Y'all's voices were raised like one pitch in podcast for yesterday, and it threw me off. Has anyone asked or have y'all addressed why y'all sounded like the chipmunks in yesterday's podcast? I don't know. We have new interns. Is it that?
I'm going to guess. The answer to that is yes.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, you'll have to check it. You'll have to check it. Make sure it's not a user problem.
Yeah, it could be like a four. Do you listen to podcasts on normal speed?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, usually.
Because I think Sean, I know Sean listens on 1.5, he says. And then someone we used to work with would listen to podcasts on 2x speed.
It was Asman.
That's weird.
Yeah. The only time that I'll speed up what I'm listening to is if it's like a video, like a Twitter video or like a TikTok video, and they're kind of talking slow, then I'll speed it up so I can get through it. But I never do it with a podcast.
No, it gives me a headache.
A headache?
Yeah, I don't understand it.
That's kind of soft.
Maybe. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not, Jeremy.
Maybe it's your frontal lobe.
Something's wrong with it?
Yeah. Maybe it's not fully developed yet.
Does that explain the math problems?
Might. Yeah. So can I tell you something that I really enjoyed from yesterday's game that I think is the recipe for the Astros to have offensive success, and it's really what you want to see from them?
Yes, you can.
How they handle that first inning. And obviously you're not going to get double dongs in the first inning every single game. And it's not even a first inning thing. It's more around a Yordan thing. Because we know that Yordan's not going to get pitched to a ton, especially in tight games early. Like, they're going to be uber careful to Yordan Alvarez, right? So what do you want to see? If the pitchers are being uber careful to Yordan Alvarez, you want to see A, the guy hitting in front of him take advantage of having the protection of Yordan Alvarez, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Pena did that, hit a towering blast into the Arlington lights last night. So, okay. It doesn't even have to be a home run. Like, I don't want to sensationalize it, be like, it's got to be a home run. No. You just have to have the guy hitting in front of Yordan, who Yordan's providing protection for, to be a plus offensive player. And we think he will be a plus offensive player. And he has been, you know, as recently as last year, small sample injuries, all of that stuff. But okay, great. Saw success for the guy hitting in front of Yordan yesterday, Jeremy Pena homers. And then you want protection, right? Like, if you're not going to pitch to Yordan, you're going to put him on base. Well, you want to really make the other team pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isak Paredes did that. So yesterday in the first inning was the recipe for the Astros to be good offensively. Like, Yordan can't carry all the water, right? He's trying his best, and he's going to have a historic year. But for them to be very good, especially in close games offensively, they need the guy hitting in front of Yordan to have offensive success, and you need the guy hitting behind Yordan to have offensive success. And in the first inning yesterday, we saw both of it. So I just wanted to, I wanted to bring that up and say, job well done.
Yeah, it's what we talked about yesterday, and then they executed it to the perfect way possible.
Perfect way.
In yesterday's game. Home run, walk, home run.
Yeah.
You can't get much better than that.
And like that's like obviously like that's to the extreme. Like we're not asking for that. And you know, you're 3 for 10, you're a Hall of Famer, like get it, but you just have to have production from the guy in front of Yordan.
Yeah.
And you have to have production from the guy behind Yordan after he walks, dude. Also, the praise I wanted to give for Mr. 201, Joe Espada himself. I thought he handled the bullpen again great yesterday.
He's a good bullpen manager.
He hadn't always been, but he's finding the right pockets. He's using his guys in the right times. You know what else I really liked? Remember, and look, Joe Espada did this too, and Dusty Baker was like famous for this. It was one of the few annoyances I had with Dusty Baker. I love Dusty Baker as a manager. I think he's great. One of the few annoyances I had with him was how they would use their high leverage relievers in 4-run games. Like they would have a 4-run lead. Oh, we got to use our high leverage guy because a grand slam ties it. Can't stand it. Can't stand it. Right now, their highest leverage reliever is Brian King. Mm-hmm. And Brian King was up in the eighth inning. But as soon as they got out of the eighth inning with a 4-run lead, they sat him down and went with lower leverage Brian Abreu. Thank you. Thank you for not using your highest leverage reliever in a 4-run game. I appreciate that. I noticed that. I liked that.
Where are you at with Brian Abreu in terms of confidence?
I think he's starting to find a little bit.
He hasn't given up an earned run this month.
Yeah, he has been wild.
Yeah, he's got 5 walks, and he's been wild outside of that as well.
And I think he's hit dudes, too.
Yeah.
I think he's hit a few, probably. But no, I mean, he's tough to hit. Brian Abreu is a tough pitcher to hit.
Yeah,
his strikeout numbers are still great. He's got 23 Ks in 18 innings this year.
Yeah, I think I'm getting close to if Joe Espada wants to throw him out there in a high leverage situation to try it out again, I'm open to that.
I mean, yesterday was a 4-run game in the ninth.
Yeah, well, so but it's
that
not,
was a Dusty Baker safe situation.
It was, but like in like the real, you know, coming in the eighth inning in the one run game.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
I think I'm ready to see him try it.
My pecking order of my bullpen at this moment, it changes based on the pockets. We know this. But if you're just eliminating the pockets, you're eliminating the splits for a moment. It's Brian King for me. I guess you have to look at it lefty-lefty. If I'm going, my top two lefties are obviously Brian King and Stephen Oakert. I think mm-hmm. they're the only two lefties in the pen. But I like both of them in high-leverage spots. I'm not ignoring either one in a high-leverage spot. If I need to use King in a high-leverage spot, I'm using him. In fact, I think I just said he's the highest leverage reliever they currently have. But I'm also not scared of even using Oakert in a high-leverage spot. The righties, I would have Aniel De Los Santos ahead of Brian Abreu, and Agreed. Then I have Brian Abreu.
Okay.
And then I guess Pearson would be after that. But if I eliminated the splits, King is at the top of the list, then Aniel De Los Santos, then Oakert, then Brian Abreu.
Okay.
But Espada doesn't do like, okay, you're the sixth inning guy, you're the seventh inning guy, you're the eighth inning guy, you're the ninth inning guy. He does the pockets based on the, you know, lefty-righty thing. Does the lefty hit righties? Does the righty hit lefties? So he's playing matchups, which I want a manager to do. I that's why I'm applauding him. He's doing a really good job managing that.
It's a smarter way to do it than just being like, this guy goes sixth, this is the seventh, eighth, and ninth.
Yeah.
It's a way smarter way to do it.
I think so.
Because well, if your seventh inning guy is facing the best three hitters, then what's the point? Like, is that the right decision there? Probably
now,
not.
I do. So this goes back to the old Charlie Pulillo argument. Charlie Pulillo would hate when closers were used automatically in the ninth inning for what you said. Like he's like, why would you pitch the closer in the ninth whenever they're facing 7, 8, 9 and not in the eighth inning when he's facing a more important spot of the lineup, which I totally understand. But I do think there is value in a role for your best reliever. And, like, the closer mentality as well.
Big time.
So if you have, like, a legit stud closer, and the Astros currently don't, right? Like, they Brian King's not a legit stud closer. Oakert's not. Aniel De Los Santos is not. Brian Abreu got every opportunity to be. Couldn't do it. So they currently have, like, this bullpen where you can kind of just, you know, play the matchups. But whenever you have a bona fide closer – like, when you have a Mariano Rivera, and it's the regular season, and you're playing 162, he has the ninth.
Yeah.
He has the ninth. Billy Wagner has the ninth. Now, it's different in the playoffs. Totally different in the playoffs. But I have no problem with a closer having his set routine over a course of 162. I think the routine matters.
Especially when we see closers that have success in non – or have, you know, struggles in non-save situations. Like they seem to be the most dependent on coming in with – you know, within a 3-run game more than anyone else in baseball. Like they just, that's most of them, that's where they have their most success. So I have no problem doing that with a closer. Everyone else, you're right, though. It's based on the best matchups possible. It shouldn't be based on inning unless you are the 2022 Astros and it doesn't really matter which order they go in because they're all just so damn good that you can say this is going to be our 7, 8, 9 every single time.
Yes. No, I agree with you. It sounds like we're the same page.
Yeah, we are.
I'm agreeing with you. Appreciate would you deploy that. Hader when he comes back?
He's the ninth inning guy.
Okay, right away?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not. Unless they are concerned about the results in Sugar Land, which I know we are not, then maybe he doesn't get it right away. I guess if you wanted to go with, if it's a righty pocket, you know, could you go righty there in that situation, go De Los Santos over Hader? You can make the argument, but like I would just say it's Hader's, you know, ball when he gets back for the ninth inning.
No, I think he's just your ninth inning guy.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Lamar leads the Aggies 3-0 now, top of the third. U of H head coach. Well, look at U of H in the regionals, man.
Look at
what U of H is doing in the regionals right now. An early scare on the top seed Aggies in College Station. Cougars doing their thing in the College World. It's not the College World Series, but the regionals. Don't bring in a closer with a 3-run lead. See, I disagree slightly there. I disagree slightly there. I know what you're saying, like, oh, any reliever should save it. It's a 3-run game in the ninth. Like, I get you. But again, it goes back to the routine for me. Like, are you probably mathematically correct? Yeah, I'll concede that. But the routine and the psyche of a pitcher and all of that, it's 162 games. That's my pushback and where I would disagree with you. But mathematically, I don't. Like, you're probably right there.
Yeah, see, I want a closer to have a clean inning, frankly.
Good point.
So, like, if you're up by three, if Josh Hader is warming in the bullpen just in case he needs to come in, Brian Abreu gives up a 2-run home run, then Hader's coming in, you know, all of a sudden it's a 1-run game, or it's first and second with no outs, Hader's coming in. I'd rather just trust him to give him clean.
Yeah.
Especially because he's already going to be ramped up as it is at that point. You can't just have him. So then you're going to do up-down for your closer every time you're up by three just in case they hold on. I don't agree with that. Like, you have to just put him in.
That's not what an up-down is.
Well, going up and then down?
No, an up-down is when you finish an inning and then start the next.
Warming up and then not warming up anymore?
Well, Peter Gammons called that dry humping.
I don't like that.
I
just think
it's not my words, Peter Gammons.
I know it is. Like, I don't think it's the right word.
Well, it's not an up-down, though. It's just like getting a guy hot.
Yeah,
it's
getting a guy hot, not using him.
Yeah. An up-down is whenever you finish an inning and start the next.
Dry humping is weird. That's a weird way to call it.
Especially coming from Peter Gammons.
Yeah.
He's like,
maybe with someone younger, I'd be more open to it.
If it was Ben Verlander, you'd be okay with it?
I'd be more open to it, to be honest. Like, Peter Gammons always feels like he's been 90 whenever I watch him.
I know.
He's always looked old.
Peter Gammons has been 90 for 20 years.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Junkie says I speed up my work safety training videos 2x speed to get through quicker. That's fair.
Yeah, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, totally fair. Another junkie, where is the I do not know this man bit from? It's from True Grit. He said he wanted to use it on his girlfriend for a concert she wants to go to, but I don't know who he is. I do not know that man. That's from True Grit with, what's his name, Jeff Bridges.
I do not know this man.
I do not know. That's a great movie. They don't talk. What is it? What is it called whenever you put words together? Like, cannot. It's like I forget the name for it. But you put the two words together. Like, back in the day, they didn't do that stuff. So, like, in True Grit set, like, way back in the day. So, like, they don't use, like, those words. They
Use Brian the Brain is frustrated right now.
Because the word's on the tip of my tongue and I can't think of it.
It's like, it starts with a C. I can't think of it, though. Anyways.
Contraction.
Contraction. There you go.
Brian the Brain working overtime.
I was right on the tip of my tongue, too, and I knew it was C-O-N, but I couldn't figure out the rest of it. I was about to say contradiction, but I was like, that's not it. So I just shut up. Brian says the podcast sounds fine on Audio Boom, junkie, that was texting in about the thing. So maybe your settings got jacked up, dog.
That seems like user error.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's not – I wouldn't even say user error. Like, our junkies are very smart, Brian or Joe. I think it was like a setting got, you know, out of whack.
Yeah, you might just unintentionally fat finger it accidentally, you know.
Yeah.
Turns to 2x speed.
Look at our junkies coming through in the clutch. Contraction, 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 contraction. They don't use contractions back in the day. A junkie said, I always thought the True Grit drop was Mitch McConnell. No, I'm pretty sure it's Jeff Bridges. It's Jeff Bridges whenever he's coming across a man who is no longer with us, and he's like, do you know him? He's like, I do not know that.
Yeah,
man.
It's definitely Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, I love that movie. That movie's so good. I like me some Westerns.
Do you ever see the original? I never have.
No.
So, okay, yeah. Same.
There was another Western, kind of a new school Western, probably like, I don't know, late 2010s maybe, that was up for like a best film. That movie's also great.
Not also Hello, great. Not Hell or High Water, right?
Yeah, that is it.
It was it? Okay. Because yep, I was thinking that was a little bit later, but yeah, that was a great movie.
2016 film.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Great movie. That and True Grit. That's theater. All right, 713-780-ESP. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Clark wants in. Clark, what's up? You're on with Jeremy and Joe.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Great.
I just want to give you a salute. Yeah, I just want to give you a shout-out for the job you guys are doing. Great job. I just want to Jordan Alvarez station. I think it was a few weeks ago. It was one or two of you with strokes to get rid of Alvarez, and Alvarez was hindering the team. So now I think the conversation today is a little different. I want you guys to speak to that. Which one of you was talking about strokes to get rid of Alvarez?
I think Clark's about to whoop my butt. I'm a little intimidated at Clark now. He wants to meet me out back because I suggested the idea of trading.
We owe each other to fight each other, to elevate our life.
It's fair. Clark, we can elevate each other's lives here. I appreciate the call. And it was me. Please don't beat me up. You sound very tough. I still completely wouldn't rule it out. Now, not this year because you've gotten back into the race. You're 2.5 back. You're not trading Yordan Alvarez. Nope. Now, if you were fading out of the race, which the Astros at the time were, I mean, a week ago, it was before the Astros won 6 of 7 games. So it was a much different conversation then than it is today because they were 5 games back last week. Push back to that would be like, well, there's a lot of baseball to play. They could make a bit of a run, and you would be right because that has been proven. They've won 6 of 7, 2.5 back. My stance with Yordan still is still kind of – I'm not trading Yordan if I'm 2.5 back and I have a realistic chance to make the playoffs. So I want to be very clear on that. Now, if the Astros start to fade away again and you feel like they're not a playoff team, then I do think that you need to entertain it because of how big of a trade package you could get for him. I don't like, Clark, that you use the word get rid of because that's not how I get semantics. You're probably right. To me, it's you're trying to beef up the rest of your organization because the return you would get on Yordan Alvarez is so great.
Yeah.
Like the Astros have won 6 of 7, but they're still 6 games below .500 despite Yordan Alvarez having the greatest start of any Astro hitter in franchise history. And they're still 6 below. Why? Because the rest of their team has holes. How can you best plug those holes? Maybe it's trading Yordan, thinking of the future a little bit. But 2.5 games back, it's totally on the back burner, not entertaining it at all. I think where I ultimately land is the worst thing you can do is let him leave as a free agent after the 2028 season. You have to make a decision at some point between now and 2028, and there's still time, right? There's still time to make this decision. You have to make a decision on if you're going to trade him for a huge return, kind of like what they did with Kyle Tucker, I think on a bigger scale, though, or you re-sign him. Now, there are dangers and concerns of signing Yordan Alvarez. Do you trust Yordan Alvarez to stay completely healthy for what will be a massive contract into his mid and late 30s?
No.
Do you? Do you trust him there? So, like, there's some major questions about signing him long-term because of his injury past. Now, the pushback would be, well, he's the best hitter on the planet. How do you let that guy leave? Fair. Which I don't want him to leave. I want him to either trade him for a king's ransom or extend him.
Yeah, you look at the Juan Soto trade. They got, it was Juan Soto and Josh Bell for 6 prospects, is what they got, and 5 prospects and a major league first baseman is what the Nationals got in return. Like that's what you're kind of looking for here. You're looking for 4 or 6 players if you trade Yordan Alvarez,
or like 3 elite prospects. You know,
yeah,
something. Like, we're not giving him away. We're not being like, hey, Yordan, your time here is done. Like you're trading him for 3. Prospects that you think are can't miss prospects that are going to kickstart your next golden era.
Yeah,
like that's the kind of trade we're looking at here. And like, look, the Nationals got a great return from Soto. The people are like, oh, the Nationals, what are they doing? Like, go look to see what those guys are doing. Like, they're, and I know the Nationals aren't great, but they're kickstarting what they hope to be like a team that will win again.
Yeah, they got the Padres number 3, 4, 9, and number 1 overall prospect.
Yeah, that's the kind of return you'd be looking for. Now, if you're in the race, you're not doing it. I completely understand that. Completely agree on that. But the Astros are going to have to make a decision before his contract expires in 2028. Do you sign him long-term, which do you trust him to stay healthy? Can you afford him Will he be demanding $60 million a year? Because if he was on the open market, guess how much he could get? $60 million a year. Because the best hitters on the planet are very, very expensive. So do you trust him to stay healthy? Can you pay him? And then if the answers to that are no and no, are you just going to let him leave as a free agent and get a very little return for him? That's where the suggestion is there. And if the Astros were a really bad baseball team, then you're just kind of wasting the season anyways. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll entertain the Yordan conversation if you want. 713-780-3776. Eventually, too, we'll talk about the Thunder Spurs from last night as well. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.